Design docs, blog posts, to-do lists, all of those are things that developers can use. So today we talk about the things that we can't do without. It's not just code, it's lots of writing too. Welcome to Tuesday, a podcast about tech tools, tips, and tricks every other Tuesday at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And I just missed that last note. But
Yuna's face was so sad. She's just like, oh, like, no.
Because the rest went well. Yeah. Today, we have a great show for you. Today, we're talking about writing for developers. And there are a variety of topics that we want to talk about, everything from writing good design docs to writing blog posts and notes for better retention to writing to-do lists. And so it's just going to be a variety of writing activities that have improved our careers, both in the workplace and outside of it. So I'm excited to get into this topic. Definitely something that I am passionate about because I have, low-key ADD, and it's the only way that I can really focus my life sometimes. But today's sponsor is OutSystems. OutSystems is a modern low-code application platform. I was going to say low-key application platform.
Low-key, low-code.
Love it. OutSystems is a modern low-code application platform that supports everything you need to build enterprise apps fast. OutSystems provides a visual development environment, powerful automation, and AI-assisted engineering. Dev teams can accelerate application development and deliver products in days and weeks instead of months and years. Using the OutSystems platform, developers can ensure their applications are secure, resilient, cloud-ready, mobile-friendly, and built to scale. Their platform can save you time and money as your application and business needs evolve. And getting started with OutSystems is easy. You can sign up for your own free personal environment and you'll have your app built in no time. To do that, check out OutSystems/Tuesday. Now, I'm going to spell this URL out for you because it's one of those clever ones. So it's outsyst.ms/Tuesday, which is spelled outsyst.ms/Tuesday. outsyst.ms/Tuesday.
And we will, of course, have a link in the show notes.
So, Chris, this show was actually inspired by you because you brought up this whole idea of how writing design docs has really transformed how you work now. So I'm curious about how you write those design docs and where exactly that is creating either better teamwork or productivity, or like why you feel like this is transformative for you now.
Yeah, no. So like for me, I never wrote design docs until I got to Netflix. You know, IBM, there was just like no organization at all when I was there. You know, I was at a smaller company before that, and it was just never like a thing that was brought up until I came to Netflix. And you know, what you get here, and they're like, "Hey, by the way, we're a memo culture." It's kind of brought up quite early on, and what it is that they basically want you to put down in writing anytime you want to do a project, and it's like
Google is a lot like that too, where it's like they want to sort of see this track of where an idea comes from and how it evolves.
Yeah. And so, I mean, so Netflix is, I think from what I've heard, Netflix is a bit more, you know, loosey goosey about this than Google or some other companies are. You know, for us, it's more that you put it down on writing so that you can get feedback from somebody else. And so you're kind of farming for dissent. And, you know, it's not a formal process on Netflix. It's just like you have a title and you just try, you put in what you're trying to do, why it's a good idea, and why it's not a bad idea, basically. And then you send that out to your team or, you know, whatever the scope of the project is, and you go from there. And, you know, forcing myself to write down why this is a good idea and why this is not a bad idea made me sometimes rethink ideas I would have tried to do otherwise. Like when I'm trying to say, oh, you know, this is worth the time and effort because of X, Y, and Z, I actually have to think about, hey, is this actually worth the effort? You know, what are some downsides? What are some competitors? What are some other things I could be doing? And just like the slight process of putting my thoughts down to words and having to defend my words has been a really clarifying process for me, where I feel when I go into a project now, I have a better grasp of what I was trying to do in the first place. And I think more importantly, my teammates have a better grasp of what I was trying to do or what we're trying to do together. And so people are aligned on what the end goal is. You know, in prior companies, we just kind of had a verbal agreement. And what would happen after a while is that, you know, somebody interpreted the results a little bit different than what somebody else did. But having it in writing was like, oh yeah, no, we have all kind of signed off on this doc, but this is the objective. And so down the line, like a month or 2 months or whatever it is, while of course we may deviate somewhere, we all kind of started off the same, you know, this is the objective. And that's been super useful for me personally.
I think it's funny that you describe your design docs as a paragraph or two, because I think that the design docs I've written have definitely been, the idea, as you mentioned, is to write down an idea and, you know, your solution, but then also to talk about all of the potential risks. And that's something new that I've experienced at Google and not other companies when writing design docs and those sorts of things. And it definitely makes you think. But I also like to add illustrations or comps, like little things to design docs, because I find that if I have some kind of visual, I get so much more feedback. It's just more likely that somebody will actually read the doc than if I don't do that.
We've probably mentioned this before, but there's a tool called ExcalDraw.com, and it's a really lightweight drawing tool.
Okay, you're going to spell that.
Yeah, so ExcalDraw, like Excalibur, but ExcalDraw.
Uh-huh. Oh, ExcalDraw. Got it.
ExcalDraw. And incredibly lightweight to kind of build diagrams. Mm-hmm. And I have like shown it to so many people who've all kind of hopped on board because it makes the process of making a state chart or like a, hey, you know, this bubble goes to this bubble so quick and easy that almost all my docs now have a chart in them. And it's just like, oh yeah, this is just a nice little flow.
I feel like for me, one of the most beneficial aspects of having a design doc or some kind of doc, like really design doc, I think is a term that usually describes a specific format based on the company. But having like some kind of design doc is a place that you can also link to other either design docs or other research or links or products or things that relate to your idea. And it sort of becomes like a hub for your product idea or update or adjustment. And I like to do it like the top of any doc I write is just a list of related links. Whether that be like a burn down chart or whatever else, bugs, anything. And so I find that link list just super useful because I'm usually just like searching for it in my Google Drive. Like,
where did I put this? In fact, I've actually done this now for my side projects too, where I will write a one pager.
Wow.
I think I may have linked this to you before, but like I was doing things. I was like, this is what I'm trying to do. And here's why it's a good thing. And here's why it's like, you know, here's what the market differentiators is and a list of features. And I did this before I began one of my projects. And I was like, oh, this is like really nice. Now I have a clearer idea of what my MVP is going to be. Just because I wrote down all the things I wanted to accomplish. And I was like, okay, I can just pick two of these. And that's my MVP or whatever the number is. And so just having that list, for me, like writing is a clarifying process. You know, it makes me think thoroughly about what I'm trying to do. You know, and so
how do you consistently get people to review your design docs? Because I feel like when it comes to that step of what are the risks, I don't always know what I don't know. And usually I'm tagging other people who are smarter than me and know more about rendering or know more about like compositing layers. And that's the work that I do. But that is definitely an area that I feel at companies who don't have a design doc culture, it's probably difficult to get other people to stop doing what they're doing to read your design doc and provide feedback.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, I think we're both lucky in the fact that we're both in companies where this is prioritized. And so, like, I will start pinging people like, hey, at here, here is my latest design doc. Please look at this. What I've done in the past, though, I have scheduled meetings with, like, our team. Like, hey, this is a kickoff. So whenever we do projects now, we try to do kickoff meetings. And that's, like, a perfect place to say, kickoff meeting, here's my design doc, or do it prior. Here's a doc prior to the kickoff meeting. Please review it before the kickoff meeting.
And I love that. I love when there's an agenda.
The agenda's great. Yes, please write an agenda for everyone in the
That is an important point for this show about writing. Include an agenda, at least like two bullet points of what you're going to talk about. Two.
Yeah,
maybe unless three. It's like a one-on-one, but yeah. I mean, if you have like a standing meeting with someone.
You know, so speaking of one-on-ones and writing, I have personally started writing down agendas for myself in my one-on-ones, for my one-on-ones with my manager. So before I go in, I have a list of topics, just personally. It's not shared with him, per se.
Yes, I do this too. I literally do this. I have a doc for every single one-on-one that I have consistently. And before the meeting starts, if I have time, I will go in and add notes, like bullet points of things I want to talk about. And then if I think about something throughout the week, like if the meeting is on Wednesday and it's Monday, I'm like, oh, I want to talk about this. I'll open up that doc and I'll put it into the bullet list. Sorry to interrupt. I was just like, yeah.
No, I completely agree. I didn't realize how valuable having an agenda for my one-on-ones would be until I started doing it. And I realized that my prior one-on-ones, I always went in and I went in with like a, you know, just cavalier, like I'll figure it out as I go. And when I compare that to the meetings, the one-on-ones I had with in an agenda, and I went to my manager or whoever it was with and saying, you know, I want to talk about these three things, I just got so much more out of it. And so, yeah, if you don't do that already and you have one-on-ones, just write an agenda for yourself. Not everyone likes having agendas in the actual one-on-one. You know, it's, I think that can be too formal for some people. But just, you know, if that person doesn't want to do it, you know, formally, just do it, you know, informally to yourself, and it's going to make it so much better.
Yeah. I learned this lesson sort of earlier on in my Google career because I had a manager who warned me, and she was like, all right, so my manager, so like my skip level, and her manager are going to probably like come 5 minutes late because they're running from another meeting and they're going to like, you know, want to go. So she sort of taught me to have a list of talking points, like a little agenda, things I wanted to get out of the meeting, because otherwise it was just not going to be productive for either of us. I didn't want to waste that person's time. And so I've developed that habit now for all of my meetings almost.
I mean, this is it's especially true for skip one-on-one. So if you have a meeting, you know, one-on-one with your manager's manager or your manager's manager. You know, I had never heard the word
manager's
skip
manager's manager
until
I hadn't either. We don't use that word at my work, but some of my friends and coworkers have started using it. And I was like, oh, that's a good term, skip level.
Yeah, it's the same. I had never heard of it. And somebody else said, oh, you know, do you have a skip one-on-one soon? And I was like, skip one-on-one. You know, I don't want to seem dumb, so I won't ask what this is, but I'm just going to go ahead and Google. Oh, what is a skip one-on-one? Oh, yes. Okay. A meeting with your manager's manager, whatever the number is. A skip. You know?
Yeah. Now we're playing hopscotch. So I wanted to sort of change the subject of conversation a little bit, but it's still in the same realm of writing things down, and talk about to-do lists, because for me, if it's not written down, it's not going to happen. Like, I know that about my life, and I have been fine-tuning to-do lists for over 10 years now, like since, since, you know, you're not in high school anymore, you don't have this agenda, now it's sort of up to you. And I started, like, trying to figure out how to get my life together by doing bullet journaling and, like, doing so many different things. I had this whole system of, like, open source goals. I built all these, like, CLI commands that I was using to do, you know, for 3 years, this open source to-do list / bullet journal. And now I do something a lot simpler, but I find that it really, really helps me to just write down the things that I need to do. And I do this every single Monday morning. I look at my calendar. I use different, like, I use a circle to denote a meeting and, like, a square to denote a task. It's just, like, a bullet journal thing. And I go through and I write all of the meetings down. And then I look at last week's little weekly list. And I move any task that I didn't finish or that I need to continue into the next week. And I write it throughout the week. So I do, like, a weeks-long spread. And it's mostly, like, Monday through Thursday I'll put actual tasks. And then throughout the week, as I don't get it done on that day, because that's going to happen, I'll move it over to Friday. So, like, I'll move it over to my freer days. Yeah. And this is sort of, like, the system that I use now. And I find it super helpful. I feel like recently I've had a lot of people ask about my system. One thing I also like to do is put personal sort of to-dos in the same place as my weekly list. And I look at it. So this is a flat desk pad that I keep next to my keyboard. So always underneath it or above it. And so I'm always looking at it. And I'll have, like, cancel Audible. That's a personal to-do. Oh, I just have so many. I have so many, like, credits right now. And I put that in the bottom third of the list. Yeah. And then the top two thirds is all, like, work to-dos, like, specific meetings, like, I don't know, reviewing docs or writing post drafts or opening PRs.
I did something similar recently where I combined my personal and work to-dos. Because for a long while, so first of all, you know, I'm not nearly as organized as you.
This is not that much organization. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but it's one piece of paper.
You write down your entire week in advance. That is very organized.
Oh, and then what I do is I go through my calendar and any open spots, I'll start filling in with, like, if I know I need to write this blog post, I need to get this done. I'll put in, like, a 30-hour long block to myself. Yeah. That's, like, writing X posts. Like, I'll say what I'm doing in the block. And I'll move it if someone needs to schedule a meeting. But doing that really, really helps me to make sure that, especially if I'm procrastinating a task, I'll start putting calendar blocks for the tasks.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think you fall in the category of quite organized. Even if it's not it doesn't mean that to you. To me, this is, like, a very organized. I've gone through so many different getting things done applications, trying to find a system that works for me. And I know I am not a organized person at all. It's hard for me to stay on track on a task. You know, I tend to just kind of try to memorize everything I'm trying to do and hope for the best, which has not served me well as I get older. Rest in peace, my memory.
It doesn't work for anyone. It's not even about age. It's just that's not how humans work.
What I've kind of found is that everyone has, you know, as I talked to different people, everyone has a different amount of days they can be organized for. You know, so for you, it seems like a week or two is your organizational, like,
One week at a time.
1 week, yeah. For me, it's like 2 days. I can't do more than 2 days because I kind of jettison. The third day, I haven't ever been able to maintain, like, a weekly schedule and stay on it. I can do it day one, day two, and then maybe day three. But, like, after that, it just goes to bonkers. And so when I think about to-do lists, for me, it's become a daily list. And so I use an application called Rome Research, which I think I may have mentioned prior. I've used so many of these tools. I've used, like, Notion, Bear, Rome.
I've
Evernote,
tried so many tools,
you know,
too.
So many tools.
In the end, for me, I found that just, like, good old paper and pencil has, I go in waves, but right now I'm back on a paper and pencil wave.
I go in waves too. Paper and pencil has always around for me. Like, I have a notepad next to me on my desk right now, which I will, like, jot things down on sometimes. But Rome has been the most reliable thing for me because I know my brain works best on a daily level. And they have a thing where they automatically create a new list for you every day. So when you go into the app, the UI, it has daily today and it has the date and just a list, and their whole thing is automatic bi-directional links, which means that anything you write you can reference some any other line you've written before, and it will automatically kind of say if you click that thing it'll go into a new page, which is that, you know, thing you wrote, and will show you every time you've referenced anything else, and it'll show you, you know, just a list of all those things. And so for me, I can just jot down whatever I'm thinking, it doesn't matter what it is. And then later on, if I need to find the connections, it becomes really easy for me to do because Rome does it for me. You can kind of see a graph of what you've written before. And, you know, yeah. And so long story short, everyone, you know, for me, you know, who has a hard time being organized, this lets me be very, very focused on what I'm doing today. And then because of the UI and how it does with links, I can find things I may have thought about yesterday or last week or last month. So that's been my kind of wrap around for that.
That concept of links is the biggest benefit to any digital to-do list for me. It's still something that I have to like kind of search for specific docs, or like I'll have to open up GitHub and like find the repo, and like, you know, I have to open up these things from scratch. Whereas if you had something digital with the links, you could just sort of open it and do it. I think that for me, the risk of that is too many things. Yeah. Where the list gets too long, and then it will always move to the next day what I didn't get done, but then I just start ignoring those items because I've seen them on the list for so long. Yeah. And I think that that's where having a limited amount of space is nice. So before I started using like this weekly spread, which I will link to what I use, it's like a $12 notepad that has 52 sheets. So it lasts you the whole year and it's really cute. I don't know how many of our listeners are into the floral vibe, but it's floral. but if not that, I really also like the post-it notes that are like 4 inches by 5 inches and lined. Yeah. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Those are super useful because it's a limited amount of space. This would be like my day pad. And then I would flip it over and I would usually probably keep it honestly for 2 or 3 days because I'm not going to get everything done in one day. I like to sort of map it out. And the reason why I like the week system is because I knowingly go into it knowing I'm not going to get everything done. So I'm lenient with myself, but it allows for me to fill in spots and days where I have more free time.
Yeah.
Because right now I have like Tuesdays is a meeting day and it's just like meetings. And I like that. I like, you know, having freer days to do more content production or writing or coding. And then I like sort of putting all my meetings together. And so when I look at things on a weekly spread, I think it sort of helps me to fill my days.
I mean, and so I'm still like trying to figure out my best system. This is what works for me right now, but you know, everything's a little bit different. I actually just kickstarted this thing called Analog, which is a, my cat is, my cat is very insistent right now.
I had to kick my dog out because he was being very loud.
Now my cat's like, yeah, me too. I should be kicked out. So I just kickstarted this thing, which is very similar to what you just said with the post-it notes. It's just like a, it's like a sheet. It's like a small little index card size sheet with lines, and you know, has a little to-do list. And so my goal is to basically try to marry, like write it down in my, in Rome first, and then write it down physically. And see if that works for me and go from there. But we'll see. I don't know. You know, have you found like there are things you do in your writing system that it makes you more productive beyond the weekly spread? And so like, is you find, you know, the icons for task or versus to do useful or?
I have a specific system, so like I can get into it. But I feel like the main thing is just knowing what things mean. And for me, the most important part of doing this is the migration aspect. So migrating it every week, looking at what I didn't get done, and I will star things if they like are super urgent, like need to be done first too. So I will like look at those first wherever they are in the week for the next week. But this is something that I also do on a yearly basis where I'll do like a my 2020 review and 2021 goals. And I've been doing that for years, like 5 or 6 years, and it's all blog posts on my website, so you can go follow my journey. But I find that doing a retrospective review, whether it's like on a short scale, like a week or a year, really helps me to identify where I can improve. And I think that it just in terms of like a tech career or any career, that has been super, super helpful. Just like thinking about what you want. You know, light a candle, listen to some music. I love doing this at the end of the year, and it is December. It's sort of that time where I'm getting really sentimental and introspective. And it's been such a hard year. Yeah. It's been such a bad year for everyone.
I know.
So I think it's especially important this year to be kind to yourself. Like, okay, maybe I didn't run a marathon, but like nobody ran a marathon, you know? I kept a pet alive for a year and I, you know, made it to the next year and I stayed home. And you know what? I'm proud of that.
I think it's also good to write these retrospectives just because you kind of forget what you did. You know, I have a hard time remembering what I did in May. In the best of years, and then someone will mention something like, "Oh yeah, I actually got a lot done. I just forgot that I did anything."
That's why I kind of like performance review season at Google.
What did I do?
Don't tell any of my coworkers, but I really like just seeing everything together and seeing how much you've accomplished. Like, it's so cool to do that. And okay, I'm not saying that performance reviews are great because it's so much time that you spend on a document, but I really like the concept of pulling together your achievements into one place that you can then really just see how much they've built on top of each other. Because when you're in it day to day, it's a grind sometimes, you know, you're just like pushing towards one or many projects and you see like little bits and pieces. But then when you look at like a full 6 months or a full year of work, it tells a story.
Yeah. Well, we are hitting 30 minutes now. And we haven't even talked about blogging yet.
Yeah. So that's another thing I wanted to chat about. You know, speaking of writing things down, I get the question a lot from people who are new to the industry of like, well, how do I learn stuff? Like, what can I do? And something that I always want to share with them is write, like blog, take notes, because I feel like that accelerates you in any type of learning that you're doing. When I was in college, like doing computer science and stuff, I would run the review sessions for like all of the tests we would do. And I found that teaching someone else something helped me learn a concept way better. It was like a selfish, like, I'll run the review session, but nobody else wanted to anyway.
I think this is one of the things that people talk about all the time about how valuable writing, teaching other people is to learning yourself. You know, and going back to the first point we made, it's like, you know, writing is a clarifying process. I wrote this blog post a few months ago about TypeScript, and it was like seven things I wish I knew in the beginning of TypeScript. And in the process of writing it, I had to kind of reinforce and relearn a couple of things that I thought I had already learned and was about to tell somebody else about, you know, they should know as well. And yeah, it's just one of those things that writing technical blog posts, even if you're not 100% confident about the topic, lends you that, you know, ability. It gives you some expertise in the topic just by having to, again, formalize your thoughts, defend it, you know, well, and you know, and write it down. And so I have kind of like every year I'm like, this year, this is the year I will start writing more technical blog posts or something like that. I joined a blogging for devs community, which I found recently.
Oh, cool. Please link that in the show notes.
I'll link in the show notes. It's a paid community by Monica Lent. And I saw it on Twitter and I was like, you know what? This might be kind of a, you know, a kick in the butt to kind of, you know, put some stake in the game and just start like thinking more about writing with people who also want to write blog posts, you know, for developers. And so I'll link the show notes. It seems pretty cool so far. And so I feel like
this industry is one of the few that does not have a high barrier to entry for publishing. Like if you're a scientist or a lawyer, like there's a higher, you know,
academic
barrier
review
to entry. Yeah. You have to do a lot of review, but I think that, having someone like a peer, a friend, you know, someone in a community like this review your work is also a really great way to not only get better at explaining yourself, which you'll need to do in technical interviews, but also it helps you see where you might have not like been as strong about a topic or like where you can improve the post or where you can be more clear. So I feel like for me, writing is a really big part of solidifying knowledge. And also, I really like the feedback from writing. So recently, I've been able to get you know, grammar feedback, and also like, hey, what about this topic? Like, hey, maybe you should go further into that. Like, maybe you want to clarify about that or intro this. And I found that that has been really useful also. But also earlier in my career, I guess, I too had a, oh, I have nothing to write about sort of attitude.
What could I possibly write about? I do nothing interesting.
And I just sort of started writing down my notes, like, to remind myself how to do things.
Yeah.
So there was like a CMS called Craft, and you had to install it, you know, this whole way. So I did like how to install Craft on Mac and publish that. And then that became linked as a resource from their website. And it was just so cool to see my work getting shared.
It's like, write for yourself. And then publish it. This podcast is kind of like we did this for ourselves, and then we're like, well, I guess we'll publish it. Like, we used to have these discussions, you know, offline, and then why don't we just record them and put it out there? And so, I think that's a great mentality. For if you don't know what to write, you know, write whatever you're doing. You know,
even doing like the CSS podcast, which is my other podcast. Check it out, CSS podcast. I learned so much because in order to write the content for that show, we are trying to teach you like the CSS spec. And I thought that I knew CSS, but then when you read the spec, it's a different level of CSS knowledge. So
wait a minute, CSS is a type language. What?
It's just so deep, and there's so many aspects of it, like functions I didn't even know existed that I like learn as I'm, you know, preparing notes for the show. So I think that like as you're learning, as you're growing as an engineer, even if you're already a senior engineer or a junior engineer, like no matter where you are in the process, there's so much that you can write about. And don't worry if other people read it, because you're doing it for yourself, and then you can share it with the community and see, you know, how it grows from there.
How it goes. One quick tool shout out about grammar. You mentioned grammar. Grammarly, if you haven't seen it before, is amazing. It's fantastic. It's getting better every time I look at it. It'll catch things that
it's been around for
about.
A while.
It's been around for a while. I've had a subscription to it for the last year or two, and like it's just such a great. It just catches things that you might not be thinking about. It's got a great tone analysis. It'll catch passive voice, you know, unclear wording, all this stuff. And if you're getting started running, or you've been running for a while, really anyone can benefit from it. And so highly recommend that tool for writers.
You don't even need a friend. You could just use a tool, Grammarly.
Friends are still good, but you know, the tool is probably better than some friends at checking your grammar.
I think that I need that. I can see it probably has gotten a lot better since I first used it like 5 years ago.
It's gotten a lot. Like, you know, I remember using it like 5 years ago, and I was like, this is okay. And I stopped using it for a while. And then maybe a year ago, I was like, let's check this out again. I was like, oh my God, it's like a full tool. It's got all these like metrics and shenanigans everywhere. It sends me a weekly report of my grammar.
Interesting.
And I'm like, I love it. I love it. Give me some more data viz about my grammar. This is what I want. Highly recommend.
I feel like that would be really good for people who have like English as a second language, because there's just like small things that are really hard in the English language, and Grammarly seems to like help you out with that. Yeah. Weird rules. We're probably way over now, but this was fun. I think that this is a really important topic for engineers.
Yeah. It's one of those things, like writing permeates every part of your career. It doesn't matter if you're a developer or whatever else. Like, you know, I see people who don't care about how they write, and it's such a drastic difference working with those people versus people who do care, because the communication level, the organization level, basically everything feels much different. It's like one of those things when people say, you know, soft skills versus hard skills, but then the soft skills are so important, so that the word soft is a misnomer. I kind of like to think of writing that way, where it's like it's so critical to everything you do as an engineer or developer or whatever, wherever you are in this path, and really should be focused on a lot more than it actually is.
Yeah, it does sort of bum me out that like this concept of soft skills is sort of looked down upon in the dev community, where I feel like as you grow in your career and you advance in your career, they become more and more and more important.
I think it's one of those things where like your hard skills, mainly get your foot in the door, because you can't sometimes pass, you know, the kind of this tall to ride. But like, you can't go anywhere beyond that without.
I'm not
having,
saying that, you know, yeah, those aren't important, but
no, you know, I know, I completely agree with you. I mean, it's one of those things, like, you know, when people don't work on how do I communicate, how do I write, how do I talk, all these things, how do I relate to people? It's like you're working in a team environment. These are all as important, if not more so, than just a straight code you write.
Yeah. So anyway, thank you for joining us on this winding journey all about writing words for developers. And I also want to shout out today's sponsor again, which is OutSystems. You can sign up for your own free personal environment and get your first app built in no time at outsyste.ms/toolsday. So it's outsystems/toolsday, where the M and the S are after the dot. That is the domain MS. outsyste.ms/toolsday. outsyste.ms/toolsday. Okay, I think I've said it enough times, but it's easier seen than heard, I think. So I'm doing my best, friends. That's all we have for you today. Let us know if this was helpful. Share this with a friend if it was. Let us know on Twitter. You can tweet us at toolsday, or you can tweet at me, at Yuna. Who are you at, Chris?
I'm at Chris Donaraj.
You gotta spell
it. I'm the only Chris Donaraj based on the internet, so
I never have trouble finding you.
Those Google pages are mine.
It's Chris Dhanaraj.
Yes, Donaraj. Nailed it. It's phonetic. It actually is. Shouldn't be that hard.
I think that the H though. That one's tricky.
But it's like a da, not a da. I don't know. Well, anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I can see it. But yeah, that's all we have for you today. So we will see you in 2 weeks. Have a lovely, lovely December. Rest of your time. Whenever you're listening to this, is January, February, March, April, summer. I don't know. We'll see you then.